This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Spousal violence generally encompasses violent behavior that causes physical, psychological, or sexual harm between persons in an intimate relationship. It is unique in that, unlike violence committed by an acquaintance or a stranger, the parties may share children and an economic ties in addition to emotional attachment. Spousal violence represents a reality for many couples around the globe, irrespective of social, economic, or religious or cultural practice. However, it is often experienced differently by women and men, younger and older couples, and current and former partners.
Domestic violence includes spousal abuse, and other forms of violence, but it becomes even more complex when cultural differences are involved. Immigrant women who are abused by their partners have needs particular to their experiences as newcomers to the Canadian social service and justice systems. A 2007 study by the Justice Institute of British Columbia about the empowerment of immigrant and refugee women who are victims of violence in their intimate relationships, found that the women interviewed for the study had much in common with abused Canadian-born women, and the services they needed are consistent with effective anti-violence services for all women. However, these women also experienced the violence in unique ways and had specific needs that stemmed directly from their experiences and status as immigrants.
We're joined in the studio by Leslie Clark, Executive Director at Nanaimo's Women Resource Society, and Jennifer Bricker, an immigrant settlement worker at Nanaimo's Immigrant Welcome Center. Welcome to People First Radio.
Hello.
Thank you.
Leslie Clark, give us a brief sense of the range of issues that women face generally as a result of domestic violence.
Well, I heard Ann Spilker speaking earlier about poverty, and I think that that is certainly one of the number one issues that that women deal with in terms of how they will manage if they make the decision to leave, and the sort of supports, also isolation, whether it be cultural isolation or any of those things, stigmatization, losing your support network if you leave, in terms of with extended family, that kind of thing.
Jennifer Bricker, if we turn to you, based on what we've just heard Leslie speaking about, how are some of these issues complicated by the challenges faced by immigrant women?
Well, I think when it comes to with immigrant women, in addition to perhaps having a smaller social network to start with, especially if they are new to the country, that barriers around language, as well as information. So there can be even intentional misinformation by the abusing partner, as well as just a lack of knowledge about the way things work here, that can cause a woman either not to know where to look for help or to think that that help isn't appropriate for her. In addition, sometimes there is a lack of cultural sensitivity around the type of help and services that are going to be most helpful. I think Haven has done a wonderful job with linking with the Central Vancouver Island Multicultural Society, that the Immigrant Welcome Center, in order to help bridge that, because a lot of the women feel more comfortable sometimes coming to an immigrant serving agency mm-hmm. first, and then we link and bridge with appropriate services.
Now, the most recent action by British Columbia's Liberal government with respect to domestic violence has emerged in response to a coroner's inquest looking into the murder-suicide deaths of five people on September the 4th, 2007 in Oak Bay. According to a report from BC's Representative for Children and Youth, Sunny Park, who was one of the four family members murdered by her husband, Peter Lee, was an immigrant depending on her abusive husband to explain the social service and legal systems in British Columbia, and she had limited confidence in her ability to express herself in English. Jennifer, are language barriers the largest consideration in all of this?
Well, I think it varies from case to case. Some immigrants have high English language skills, and some have very minimal English language skills. But it's certainly a barrier. So in addition to the language barriers, it's complicated by the fact that even interpreting services are not funded very well. So a lot of times there's a gap even in having the money available to pay for interpreting. Mm.
The Children and Youth Advocates report also states that there is no ministry policy on working with immigrant families. And a best practices document, however, includes an appendix that briefly describes some of the dynamics of domestic violence specific to immigrant women. Does that surprise you?
Well, it surprises me that it's hidden away and that it isn't being used more actively. But the fact that there has been work done is promising.
Leslie, if we step a little bit away from the challenges related to immigration and look for cultural differences among women, how do cultural differences relate to the way domestic abuse is defined and responded to?
I think that certainly when we, look at various cultures, there's, every situation is different. But I think that a lot of times, abuse has become, can become systemic, and that's across the board in many cultures. And I think that, so what it does is it kind of raises the bar for what people consider to be abuse. And it can be a whole, like, it does range from a whole number of things, but it sometimes women will come into the Women's Center and describe what is clearly an abusive situation, but they don't recognize it as abuse. And a lot of that has come where communities, for example, a lot of women that use the center come from First Nations women, and there isn't always the sense that that it's defined the same way that I would necessarily define it. And so you do have to have sort of a cultural understanding of where that comes from. And certainly where people themselves have been victims of abuse, they may have a skewed understanding of what abuse is because it would be coming to terms with their own abuse.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Brad. We're joined in the studio by Leslie Clark, Executive Director of Nanaimo Women's Resources Society, and by Jennifer Bricker, who is an immigrant settlement worker with Nanaimo's Immigrant Welcome Center. We're speaking about domestic violence and some of the immigrant and multicultural issues related to the problems associated with domestic violence.
One of the myths about domestic violence against women is that a woman should simply leave the situation. If there is anything wrong with it, tell us more about why women remain in abusive situations, please, Leslie.
Well, as Anne was mentioning, and I mentioned earlier, poverty is, where women will literally, and women will come to, for example, the Women's Center and talk about their situation in dealing with abuse. But they'll say to us, I don't want to do anything about it because what I'm afraid is that I don't have any other place to go. And if I end up going to a motel or someplace like that, the ministry is going to take my children. So they feel really between, that if they're in a situation where they can't care for their children, then it's better to stay sort of locked in this secrecy of abuse rather than put themselves in a situation where they feel like they literally cannot care for their children. So, as Anne was saying, it's an incredibly complex, I know that people sort of often have this attitude, well, why don't people leave? And I think the thing is that abuse is not something, like I said, if it is sort of systemic where people have grown up in abusive situations, they don't recognize it necessarily the same way. It's different if a woman, hasn't had that as an experience in her childhood.
Jennifer Bricker, you're a settlement worker with the Immigrant Welcome Center in Nanaimo. You provide services in both Nanaimo and Parksville, as we discussed on the phone the other day. Tell us more about the services you offer and how they might intersect with services required by women and children affected by domestic violence. And I think you spoke a bit in that direction earlier in our discussion today.
Yeah. Well, we're often an early point of contact with any kind of social service agency in the community, and we provide orientation, referrals, and information about the community and how things work here. I was referring earlier that we often do referrals and linking of women to appropriate services. In addition, we try and help break isolation. Lots of women immigrants, when they arrive as dependents of their husband. So the husband is often the primary applicant, or they're being sponsored by their husband. And so they may not be working and connecting with the community that way. One way that we are doing that is we have a multicultural women's group that meets on Friday mornings, and it's a way for women to link with other women and help break that isolation. And then we also provide information sessions through that venue in order to inform women about the different their rights and services that are available.
Do you have a single telephone number or a method that you prefer to share in terms of reaching the immigrant help that you're describing?
Well, our phone number is 250-753-6911, extension 110.
Okay, and that's a direct line to your services.
Yes, right? It is. Yes.
Leslie Clark, tell us more about the services at Nanaimo Women's Resources Center, and tell us how women who are being subjected to domestic violence can access help.
Well, this is important to clarify, because you had Anne Spilker on earlier from Haven Society, and sometimes people get our two organizations confused. The Women's Center is a resource center, and we have resources, we have planning around resources, we have client support workers, we do a whole number of things around tenancy support. So, for example, if a woman did find herself that she had left and she needed some more tenancy support around that, we're often a first point of contact where women have either maybe pre-contemplative or just want some information around violence. They come to us often because they haven't yet identified. So they may not be going directly to Haven, but Haven is where we refer women to once we've gone through that process. So women may come into us first, and sometimes they may come in because they're under the control of the abuser, and because we offer so many resources, they could be coming there for anything. It's not specifically around violence. So they may choose to come to us for that reason. And then from there, we work with Haven Society in getting them to a safe place.
We have just a moment left in our discussion today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add to our conversation. Jennifer Bricker.
Just the referral, or you referred earlier, Leslie, about systemic issues and abuse. And I would like to just point out that the immigration process can be part of that system. Many women arrive without legal status here as permanent residents. They'll arrive as visitors, as dependents of either students or somebody on work permit, or as spouses who, before they apply for their permanent residency. And this is a real gap, because these women aren't eligible for any services. If they leave, they can't get social assistance. They may have children born here and worried that they'll lose their children and have to leave the country. So I just wanted to point out that there is also that additional systemic barrier.
Leslie Clark.
Just quickly that, yeah, I think that all of these agencies, as Anne spoke to earlier, we need to have some sort of, we need to be sustainable. We need to know what we're doing from year to year. We need to be able to keep client support workers in place. Right now, it's like so touch and go with government funding. Women need to know that there's a place that they can go and the doors will be open. And we need to make sure we fill the gaps through prevention, through all of those pieces. Children Who Witness Abuse through Haven Society is an amazing program. We need to make sure that all of the pieces stay in place, because as we saw in Victoria, when those gaps start to happen is when it is truly tragic.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciated your participation, your willingness to come down and join us in the studio. Leslie Clark is Executive Director at Nanaimo Women's Resources Society, and Jennifer Bricker is an immigrant settlement worker at Nanaimo's Immigrant Welcome Center.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM, CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.